This is an Algoa FM news exclusive.
Where to begin with such a story? I guess the beginning. Arnold DeBlanche is involved in planning the murder of Vicky, and he is actually the one who let us get caught. These are the words of murder accused Reinhard Leach, who for the first time points a finger at Arnold in the plot to kill his estranged wife, Vicky DeBlanche. Leach says he will plead not guilty, as it was Dylan Cullis who killed Vicky. Welcome to another edition of Journey to Justice, where I will share some explosive details with you today on murder accused Reinhard Leach, who decided to apply for bail after spending 2 years and 8 months in prison. If you are new to this podcast, I would suggest you start listening from episode one, as this story is so complex, with many twists and turns, truly an unbelievable tale of how a 42-year-old woman was killed just days before her 43rd birthday, suffocated and dumped in a shallow grave with fingers pointing in all directions as to who did it and why. We have five main characters in the story, just to give you a reminder. The victim, Vicky DeBlanche. Her estranged husband, Arnold DeBlanche. Her boyfriend, Reinhard Leach, and his friends, Mario de Ridder Jr. and Dylan Cullis. The last three men were all present in the house when Vicky was killed. This was confirmed by Cullis in his plea agreement, for which he's now serving 18 years in prison. And Mario de Ridder Jr., who is a Section 204 state witness, is under immense pressure to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to ensure he earns his get-out-of-jail-free card. The murder trial of Vicky was set to take place from October to December this year, 2024, and now it seems that this trial will not proceed until next year. Why? Well, the pre-trial conference did not go as planned, with many issues still unresolved. The state waited for a long time to get their hands on all the digital data they required from all the phones and electronic devices they had to decipher, and this was only recently handed over to the defense. The state seems confident that the information they now have will give them the upper hand in getting all the accused a lengthy prison sentence. But State Prosecutor Marius Stander said he was trial ready, but the defense disagrees. However, I must state that a big reason for the trial not going ahead this year also has to do with the availability of judges. So it's not entirely the state's fault. Be that as it may, it still means that Arnold is walking the streets as a murder accused. And by the time this could go to trial, it will be almost 3 years after the murder. Any accused would want to have his day in court. Justice delayed is justice denied, as they say. So therefore, DeBlanche's legal team filed an application under Section 342A of the Criminal Procedures Act. In plain English, DeBlanche wants the court to investigate why there are all these delays and if these delays can be considered unreasonable because this could cause substantial prejudice to the prosecution, the accused and his legal team. Advocate Standard is opposing this application, but just for your interest, if the court were to investigate the delays, they would look into certain things. For example, how long has the delay been? What are the reasons? Can anybody be blamed for it? If the delay is of such nature that witnesses have died or the quality of evidence is weakening, I mean, there's a long list of things to consider if the court were to investigate this, and it has far-reaching consequences. The case could actually be struck off the roll. But today's podcast is about Reinhard Leach, who indicated a year after the murder that he wanted to bring a bail application. He has a right to do so because he abandoned his bail after his arrest. His bail hearing was finally heard in June 2024 in the Gqeberha High Court in front of Judge Mandela Makaula. For the first time, we hear Leach's version of events of what happened on the night Vicky died. His affidavit was handed in and is in stark contrast to what now convicted Dylan Cullis had to say on what happened that night. A reminder that Cullis entered into a plea agreement with the state and his version was accepted by the court. I want to now take you back to a snippet from episode 17 of Journey to Justice, where I unpack what Cullis had to say on what happened. Cullis continues by saying that they now returned to Vicky's home, where they took drugs and played Xbox. He said at one point he wanted to tell Vicky that her life was in danger, but he still thought that maybe Leach was joking. Cullis says Leach then again wanted to go for a drive, and Leach said he did not know how to kill Vicky. And then he said it was Derrida Jr. who had suggested that they make it look like an overdose. Now, according to the plea deal, they went to Shoreville, where they bought between 30 and 40 Percocet tablets. It's a Schedule 6 drug. They all used some of it. Vicky had also taken drugs with them. But later, more Percocet tablets were crushed up by Leach, who mixed it into a fizzy drink. Cullis said he tasted the concoction and noted that it was very bitter. But when Leach returned from the main bedroom in the house, he told Derrida and Cullis, who were playing video games, that he had given Vicky the concoction before having sex with her. Cullis said much later he could hear Leach snoring in the bedroom, but he also heard Vicky gagging. Now, he said he went into the main room and he took Vicky to the spare bedroom, where he turned her on her side while thinking of a plan to rescue her. These are his words. But he says he was also high and he could not stay awake, and eventually he passed out next to Vicky on the double bed in the spare bedroom. So early the next morning, Cullis said Leach woke up and was very confused when Vicky was not in the bed next to him. And when he saw his girlfriend with him in the spare bedroom, he accused Cullis of having sex with her. Cullis said Leach now blamed him for the fact that Vicky was not dead and said to him he must now finish the job. It was Leach who then eventually tightened the blanket around Vicky, moved the pillow from under her head, and suffocated her. At this point, according to Cullis, Derrida Jr. walked into the room when Vicky was still alive. So he's saying that Derrida Jr. witnessed the murder.
Now I want to zone in on Leach's affidavit, where he talks about the events leading up to Vicky's death. Keep in mind, this was after Leach had a meeting with Arnold at the Chelsea Sports Bar, where he claims that Arnold gave him petrol money because he was broke, but that Arnold also said, I quote, "The money I just gave you is small change, nothing compared to what I will give you if you would help me get rid of Vicky." This is explosive because it's the first time we hear a version from one of the accused where Arnold talks about wanting to get rid of Vicky. This, according to Leach's affidavit, is what happened next. He said he went home from the sports bar, acted like everything was normal, not telling Vicky he met with Arnold. He said he had a braai and drugs and alcohol with Derrida and Cullis, whom he claims he met that evening. He said when he mentioned that Arnold wanted to get rid of Vicky, the guys sounded interested. Quote, "They asked how much we'll get for killing Arnold, and I did not really have an answer. Maybe 10 million rand? Not sure. They asked me, so how much will he pay us to get rid of Vicky? I said that he's about 50 million rand strong, and getting rid of her saves him money, which is money that we could get." End quote. Here now is Leach's version of what happened the night Vicky died. Please note, this is Leach's exact words from his affidavit, but it is a dramatization and obviously not him speaking in this audio.
"The day it went down, it was morning, midday. We had cocaine, weed, a lot of Percocet, Mandrax and Tic. After partying all night, we sat and thought nothing's happening and the sun was out already. We were impatient and mixed Percocet with Rocker. I put in 10 pulls of Percocet, thinking that'll knock her out. After drinking half, she looked at me saying, 'What is this?' I said, 'It's Barocca.' She said that I'm lying, so to prove to her it was indeed Barocca, I drank the other half of the glass. We had sex, and shortly thereafter, we both fell asleep on the bed in the main bedroom. She slept on the side of the ensuite bathroom. When I woke up, she wasn't next to me. Mario woke me up saying, 'Come quickly.' I was still dizzy as the pills did not work out yet, and we've been awake for days by that stage. As I was going down the passage toward the child's bed, I could hear her scream. When I reached the room, I saw Dylan sitting over her with a pillow over her face. He was busy suffocating her. I said, "What the fuck are you doing?" So Dylan said, "Just go outside the room," and myself and Mario left the room. It was all like a bad dream. I didn't know what was going on and why. I did not feel so great, and I sat in the room. It was all like a bad dream. I did not know what was going on and why. I did not feel so great, and I sat in the braai area. He came out saying that she's dead. I couldn't understand what was happening. I didn't ask him to do it, as someone would clearly see that she was strangled or suffocated to death. It was never part of the plan. Till this day, I still don't know the real reason he did it. I'm almost 90% sure that Dylan himself, or the both of them, raped her while she was sleeping, and when she woke up, she started screaming. And to shut her up, they suffocated her. His excuse was, all this was taking too long. That's why he did it. I said, "What the fuck? Why did you do it?" He answered, saying that we will be rich. We didn't know what to do, and time passed by. I was convinced to contact friends with experience, and Mario said, "Phone Yuckles." We decided to meet him at his house, and when we got there, Mario spoke to him. He suggested to dump her at a garbage disposal place or use a boat to dump her at the sea, but he wanted nothing to do with it. We left, and Mario said, "We need a boat," and we could not find a boat at the time. I decided to phone Arnold, and I told him the deed is done. After that, I asked if we could borrow his boat. He said that it's not ready for water, as something with the motor was wrong. Arnold is involved with planning this murder, and he's actually the one who let us get caught by sending Crystal's sister to the house as an estate agent. She arrived shortly after I arrived at the house. The maid of Arnold arrived there the same time as we did, or was there already when we got there. We had, by that time, already buried her in Greenbushes.
There you have it. Two versions of a murder scene. Cullis, who's already in prison, said Leech did it. And Leech said Cullis did it. And guess what? One of them is lying. The only similarities in their stories seem to be the following. They were all in the house at the time of the murder. Leech had sex with Vicky. Cullis was in bed with Vicky when Leech woke up. The Ridder witnessed the murder, and they all used drugs, a lot of drugs. According to Leech, on the night Vicky died, they used a lot of drugs. Cocaine, which he specifically said was Vicky's drug of choice. Her favorite, he said. Dacha, Mandrax, Tic, and then of course Percocet, or Perkies, that we've been hearing a lot about. It's not yet clear how pure the so-called Percocet was as it was bought on the streets, and we would have to wait for laboratory tests to confirm exactly what type of drugs were in Vicky's system. But nevertheless, I spoke to an Eastern Cape pharmacist just to break it down for us. She's been a pharmacist for 27 years in both the private and government sector, and also worked for 2 years in the UK with a year's experience in pharmaceutical manufacturing. She asked to remain anonymous, so for this podcast, I will refer to her as Amy. Amy, what exactly is Percocet?
Percocet is a combination medication used to help relieve moderate to severe pain. It contains an opiate, oxycodone, and a non-opiate, acetaminophen. Oxycodone works in the brain to change how your body feels and responds to pain. Though it helps many people, this medication may sometimes cause addiction. The risk may be even higher for addiction if you have a substance disorder, such as overuse or addiction to drugs or alcohol. Withdrawal symptoms include restlessness, mental and mood changes, which includes anxiety, trouble sleeping, thoughts of suicide, sweating, or sudden changes in behavior. Percocet has a high risk for abuse and addiction, which can lead to overdose and death. It may also cause severe, possibly fatal, breathing problems. The risk of serious side effects, such as slow, shallow breathing, severe drowsiness, and dizziness, may be increased if Percocet is taken with other products that may cause drowsiness or breathing problems. Other products could be alcohol, cannabis, drugs used for sleeping or anxiety. Percocet might be difficult to obtain because it requires a prescription. So many people aren't able to obtain enough Percocet through legal means, such as a prescription from a doctor. Clearly, if you buy it from the street, it might be somebody with a prescription that is selling it on the black market.
Now, Leach mentions in his affidavit that the day Vicky died was the first time he ever used Percocet because he doesn't use sleeping tablets, as he calls it. He says he only uses his own sleeping tablets called Miradep and Zopavine if he wants to sleep. Amy, what are these medications prescribed for, Miradep and Zopavine?
Miradep is considered an antidepressant. It's indicated for major depressive illness. Abrupt withdrawal of this medication should be avoided, and caution should be exercised if a patient already has a psychotic disorder such as schizophrenia, pre-existing history of suicide-related events. Side effects of Miradep includes anxiety, insomnia, mania, agitation, hallucinations, and aggression. Looking at Zopavine, which is classified as a benzodiazepine, it's indicated for insomnia. However, caution again, if there's a history of substance abuse, this drug has a potential for abuse. Caution also when you're already depressed, and again to avoid abrupt withdrawal of this medication.
So the murder accused Reinhard Leach and Dylan Cullis admitted to doing drugs like weed, mandrax, cocaine, crystal meth. Leach also mentions in his affidavit that he was sometimes awake for days. What, in your opinion, Amy, as a pharmacist, could be the potential risks of mixing any of these drugs?
So if somebody had to use this in combination with things like tick, cocaine, mandrax, and cannabis, we can have the following. Tick, usually, when an individual uses methamphetamine, commonly known as tick, they are more susceptible to the development of severe psychiatric disorders, including issues with psychotic-like behavior, such as delusions, hallucinations, and impaired reality testing. Cocaine increases levels of dopamine in your brain, controlling pleasure and movement. However, overuse of cocaine can cause sleep disorders. Mandrax, when smoked, include an euphoric high followed by drowsiness, temporary unconsciousness, or passing out with potential sedation. So with all stimulant drugs, like we've mentioned here, it can make you feel depressed, anxious, and paranoid. Cocaine can make previous mental health problems reoccur and trigger psychosis and schizophrenia. Changes in behavior, such as mood swings, increased aggression, and impact on sleep is noted. Cannabis, which is considered a downer in this case, can cause impaired memory, hallucinations, delusions, psychosis, and anxiety mood disorders.
Thank you, Amy. It gives a clear idea on the potential risks involved if you look at all the drugs Leach said they took, where they were sometimes awake for days. In my next episode, which will be released next week, we will discuss the outcome of Leach's bail application. Share more of Leach's affidavit on how he left his teaching career and how he met Vicky and got involved in the abalone industry. I will also share some more information from the state, who says that each of their allegations against the accused at present is supported by evidence contained in affidavits, exhibits, voice recordings, phone records, and other digital devices. Until next time.
That was an Algo FM News exclusive.